There's no other race or gender that you can make fun of anymore nowadays. I mean, even who's the guy that even Jerry Seinfeld is telling everybody that it's so politically correct nowadays. And so men, it's okay. It's okay to make a man look bad. And that him. And then the problem is that sometimes as men, we've shot ourselves in the foot. We've stopped. We've nixed God. We've nixed traditional families and taking responsibility for our actions. We've even nixed hard work, you know, nowadays. And so here's the problem. You know, I was reading this. Young men nowadays prefer porn over women and watching football instead of playing it, or spending time as imaginary characters on the internet than regular being outdoors and doing stuff. That's a real problem. And I got to tell you today, men are giving up their leadership roles and responsibilities in life and marriage. Men don't want to put any effort into change. That's the worst part about it. Do you know that I read that more women buy self-help books than men because men don't what? We don't read anything. So I'm telling you today, we must start acting like men ourselves and start teaching younger boys how to act men, because I got to tell you, men are in crisis. And we have got to man up. And my wife gave me permission to say these things to you today. So. She did. She said, honey, you tell him. You tell him I said so. Because I want a man's man. That's what she said. So ladies, you here today? I'm going to ask you to listen up. Listen to today's sermon. So here's the deal. What do you want to do? What you say? You gave this list, and I want you to listen to this sermon because you have to help your man or your future man or any man you know fight the battles that he's going to face and win them. You got to help the man that you know, the men that you know, be the man of God, that the men that God wants them to be. So ladies, are you with me? All right, so just hold on. I've got a lot of books on men, but recently I've read these three books, and so I've bought some books for some guys. I've been reading these, and I've also bought a few books for the guy. I meet with two guys on a weekly basis, and so me and the two guys, they don't know this yet, but we're going to read this one of these books together. And so a lot of this sermon, a lot of this stuff comes from, I mean, I didn't put Measure of a Man by Gene Getz that I read years ago, and Man in the Mirror that I've read, and all these thoughts come from a lot of this stuff that I have been poured into my life. And so the key of it today, though, is the scripture. These are books that men have written, but the key is the scripture that I read today. And Paul in 1 Corinthians 16 there is writing to the church, and the church was having problems. And he was writing to the men of the church because it's the leadership of the men that God created. Now, again, ladies, I just want to say, listen, can I say this? I love women. I don't think please don't say what some of the things, I'm going to say this later, but I just want you to please don't, like, oh my God, what is, you know, please just hear me out as I go through this sermon. I love women. I love my wife. And so, but Paul's writing to the Corinthians because the church was messed up. And he says, where are we going to get, how are we going to get straightened up? And so he writes to this and he says, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, and what? Act like men, because that church was all messed up. And so if the church was all messed up, it means their lives were all messed up, personalized, their families and everything was messed up. Paul's saying, act like men. Be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. And so today, I'm just going to take us through some things here. And so the first thing I want you to do is, men, act like a man. Don't act like a woman. Right? God created man. Yeah, amen. Do I got an amen over? God created man and woman, right? We're different physically and emotionally. Equal in God's eyes. Listen to this. Women, we are equal in God's eyes. I always tell ladies that, you know, God, right? God created man. We're the basic model. He wanted something a little more complicated, a little better, and he created woman. Equally created. but created to fulfill different roles. Men and women were created to complement each other and complete each other. But if you look at the world, their thinking is we're going to have to compete against other, compete against each other. And that's wrong in the way they're thinking. Hey, I like competition, but it's not the way the world. One's, you know, and so I'm not saying women are weaker. I'm not as smart or not as strong. You know, I tell this all the time. I go to work out with these at the place at Kyle's, and I tell those women all the time. I said, no wonder you can do sit-ups and crunches. You're a woman. You can handle pain. I'm not. I'm a man. If I can't kill it or beat it in the first few seconds, I'm going to quit. But our culture is trying to turn men into women. You know, these nicer, softer, kinder, more compassionate, and fashion savory, since, you know, fashion savory, or that's not the word, savvy, thank you very much. Savory. I was, it's Father's Day, you know, I'm thinking of that. I was at my grandson's basketball game. He's 13. Right before his game was the girls' game. I'm going to tell you something. That was listen, back in the 70s when I played, we played rough. I played rough. Look, you don't understand. I played to win. It didn't make no difference. I hate to say this as a pastor, but back in those days, I played to win. I didn't care if I had to slap you, beat you to the floor. You know, whatever it was, I played to win. Those girls were tougher than I was. I watched the girls' basketball game. I'm like, holy cow, these girls are rough. Then I watched my grandsons, and they were calling fouls and trying to make these boys into a bunch of sissies. The girls' game was rougher than the boys. I'm serious. Blow the whistle. Oh, you can't say that. You can't do that. They didn't want him to be aggressive. They didn't want him to be, I'll be honest with you, to play hard. And I got to tell you, I'm just going to state the obvious. Women are not men. And women don't make good men. And men don't make good women. So men, are you a manly man or a girly man? I had to think about this. I had to catch myself a little bit on here because, listen, you know, nowadays they got men. Men are embarrassed about having body hair. So now they got this stuff called manscaping. Yeah, I don't know if you know about this. It's crazy. I thought that the other day when I was having my eyebrows tweezed. You know, I'm thinking. Right after I got my manicure and my pedicure, you know. Don't laugh. Then we got men dressing feminine. I don't care what you say. I'm not wearing pink. And then we got guys asking other guys, hey, where did you get your outfit? Now, come on, that ain't right. And I tell you, I'm going to have to start hanging out. Now we're in a movie theater. I'm going to start hanging out in the movie theater because I got to tell you, I'm gonna start keeping an eye on our guys watching chick flicks. Because, you know, this watching chick flicks and crying at chick flicks. You know, listen, we watch Braveheart. And what was that one Russell Crowe was in? Gladiator. That's the kind of movies we watch. And listen, men, stop getting in touch with your feminine side. Trying to be all passive and everything. That just ain't getting it. Listen to what Psalm 127 says. Here it says, like, listen to this. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior. You got children? What's the Bible calling you? What's the psalmist calling you? Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Men were created by God to be warriors. Because every day that you live, you are in a spiritual battle. I'll quit pointing at you. Sorry. You know what Tony Evans in his book said? He said, you should be the kind of warrior that every day when you wake up and your feet hit the floor, the devil says, oh, crap, he's up. That's what Tony Evans said. I didn't say it. He said it. And I'm thinking, amen, Tony, you're right. So we got to act like a man and man up. Because 1 Corinthians 13 says this, listen to this. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I gave up what? Yeah, so if you're going to be a man, act like a man. Don't act like a boy. They keep saying, well, the only difference between men and boys is what? The toys. Yeah, no. I just spent a week with my 13-year-old grandson. And his friends of that age, trust me, there's a whole lot of difference. But some men are still, you know, here, I spent a week with those guys. So they're loud. They're a little self-centered. They've got a herd mentality. Yeah, I'm not even going to say some of the other stuff they do. See, they're thinking, they're reasoning, they're understanding. It's incomplete. They're immature. Yeah, did I jump in with them once in a while? I sure did. But I also know when to act like a man. And acting like a man means to be a mature man. And see, here's the one of the troubles that, here's two of the reasons why men struggle to be men and to mature is because they deal with fear and anger. And I got to tell you, I could go into this, and I'm not a psychologist, but I've read these stories, and I looked at my own life, and I realized that many of us didn't have the proper examples. Many of us struggled with out fathers, or with fathers that were out, checked out, or they had issues with some sort of ism. And so we fall into two areas most men struggle with in order to mature, and that's fear and anger. And so we have a fear of failure. I'm telling you this from my own personal experience. And I'm just a regular guy. So I know a lot of people struggle. It's fear of failure, the fear of rejection, the fear of being cheated. That's why I don't like to go to car dealerships and go get a car. I think that dude's cheating me. My wife says, I hate to take you to go shopping for a new car. Yeah, because I'm on guard. I'm a warrior. Don't cheat me, dude. And then finally, fear of being alone. And part of that is it's not until I get older in life that I'm starting to really be honest about my fears. You know, I'm telling my wife, I've been married for 37 years. Get that right, 37. Just this month. You know, I'm finally finding in later years, after I've come to faith in Christ, that I'm able to open up and tell my wife my fears. I tell God my fears. I tell my wife my fears. And what happens is that God, through that process, God allows me to replace that fear with this trust. Because the scripture says God has not, I confessed it today with our prayer group on Sunday mornings. We're meeting over there and praying to between 9 and 9:30. I told them today, my big fear on Sunday mornings is time. I have a fear of time. Time, we got to hurry up, get out of here. You say, Pastor Scott, why do you talk so fast? Well, I got a fear of time. And then I got a fear of making people. You know, not like me. You know. And so I had to confess that over there this morning that I confessed the fear of time and not pleasing people, because the scripture says that God has not given us a spirit of fear and you know what I'm talking about? But the power of love and self-discipline. And so with that fear, a lot of times that fear, we become angry, and that anger is the secondary emotion. A reactionary emotion caused by fear, hurt, rejection, humiliation, frustration, and then big one, because we won't get help. And so that's what happens, men. And Proverbs 29:11 says, let's all read this together. You ready? A fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. Acting like a man means getting victory over your fear and anger. I got to tell you, I've told this before. I'm not the man that I used to be. I'm not the man that God, that I'm going to be either. I'm in process, and God has helped me with that. And those stretches where I fail with fear and anger are getting, hopefully, I think they're getting farther and farther apart. And one day I believe that I'll be, I'm either going to stand in the face of Jesus and be totally healed from all this stuff, or that as the older I get, I realize the less, what am I angry? What do I want to get angry? What do I fear? You know, and so... Finally, acting like a man. Here's another one that's very challenging for people. This is hard. Acting like a man means to be under authority. I laugh at that because me and my grandson had quite a few discussions about that this week. When he's at my house, he's under my authority. And he's 13, right? He doesn't want to be under anybody's authority. I didn't want to be. Listen, at 13 or 14 when I was his age, I thought I was running my life. Yeah, I certainly did. It reminds me of a cartoon. You know, you heard of Frank and Ernest, right? Frank and Ernest are standing at the pearly gates. St. Peter's there waiting to let him in, and he's got this scowl on his face. And Frank looks over to Ernest, and he said, "Ernie, you might want to change your shirt." And because Ernie's shirt read, "Question authority." And so, not a good idea to question authority at the pearly gates. Not a good idea. You see, as American men, at 13 or 14, I was questioning authority. Men, period. As American men, we were trained, and we watching John Wayne and a lot of the movies that we watched. That you know, we fighting the wars that we weren't going to be under anybody's authority. We're Americans. We're free, and nobody wants to submit to authority. But when I've told you guys several times when I came to Christ, I started to read what a man of God was supposed to be and a father and a husband I was supposed to be. And one of the things that I read was that I was supposed to be under that the Bible is clear is that I'm supposed to be under authority. I don't like that. God's authority that men should be willing to submit to is this, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, and Jesus came and said to them, listen to this, what kind of authority? All authority. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Do you know that one day, the Bible says, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess Jesus Christ the Lord. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I want to tell you this, you want to bow on this side of your life and call Jesus Lord, because with the time that you do it after you're dead, you'll be forced to bow down and call Jesus as Lord. I'm just saying, that will be the best thing to do. So we're supposed to submit to Jesus Christ. Then, listen to this. Now, this is what really struggles for a lot of people, and I struggled with this too until I started to study the scriptures. We're supposed to submit to the authority of the elders of the local church. I have not always been the pastor. I was a person just sitting like you in the church. And I had elders, and I had a pastor over me. And even when I became a pastor, I was an assistant pastor, and I had elders over me then. Now, I'm one of the elders, and I count these three guys, I've said this before, as they are my bosses. They're the other guys, even though I'm a co-elder with them, they're the ones who I'm accountable to. And so, Hebrews 13:7 says, obey your spiritual leaders. Do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God. Give them the reason to do this with joy, not with sorrow. That would certainly not be for your benefit. I know people would rather just leave than work with the elders. I'm telling you, that's how it's been. I've seen it. I've been in two churches my whole life. I grew up in one, but I really technically wasn't there because, you know, my mom made me come, and my mom made me go to that church, and I really wasn't involved or engaged. But I've only been involved in two churches my whole life. That's it. But I realized that when I came under the authority as a Christian of my pastor and my elder, and these men are supposed to be spiritual leaders. Now they got to be the right kind of leaders. Again, we're not mindless. You're not a mindless a robot to these people. You're only a submit to the authorities of elders that are godly, that use God's Bible, that actually serve you. They have a heart to serve you, not lord it over you. Remember, Jesus came to serve. And so that's really tough for a lot of people. And then finally, here's the big one. Whoa, okay, your government. I'm telling you right now, you know how many times I've had to tell people this? And I've had to remind myself. People refuse to believe this. You're supposed to submit to your government. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there's no authority except that which God has what? The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. You know what? Jesus didn't rebel against the Romans. He didn't. He didn't. They wanted him to, but he didn't, because the Roman government had been established by God there over the Israel, over the Jews. Was the Roman government perfect? Heck no, they were crucifying people right and left. They were demanding higher taxes. They were, you know, it was kind of like today. There was persecution. I'm telling you, folks, it says it right there. Those who do not do so will bring judgment upon themselves. And so, stop. I'm telling you, if you don't like the president, just be quiet. I see it on Facebook all the time. I see this all the time. If you don't like anything, pray for him. Just be quiet, because you are bringing judgment on yourself. That's what it says. Now, that's God's word, not my word. I'm just telling you. So anyway, so most of us struggle with being under authority. God exalted Jesus Christ when he submitted to his authority. And the truth is that God will bless you, bless men and women who submit to the authority, his authority structure. You say, well, I don't like it. Well, I don't think it's fair. Well, you know what? God put it there, and you can talk to him about that. So don't act like a woman. Don't act like a boy. Submit to yourself under authority. Act like a man, a victorious, mature, willing to submit to God-ordained authority. So what does a man do? Come on, Scott, what does a man do? Okay, here we go. We're getting to the do part. This verse right here. Here it is. The first one, a man's supposed to act like a man and be watchful. Now, it means to always be awake and alert. Most men are not. They're not. You know how I can say that? Because I'm a man. I know what it was like. Most men, we say, oh man, he's out in left field. Well, that's a term to say he's really not in the game. No, most men aren't even in the ballpark with things in life that matter the most. I'm telling you, I'm just telling you the truth. I wasn't. I was going through the motions. I had a job. I was married. I had kids. I had all these things. But I was, you know, I've always said this before, I was in love with who? Me. And everything I did revolved around me. And the most important thing is God, families, children. Here's what guys think. No big deal. No big deal. Whatever. And they're walking around so disinterested in life. And in their families, in the things that matter the most. And they end up waking up in their later years of life and they have so much regret. And I want to help you, because I have regret now and I'm only 50. And I look back on it and I say, well, Lord, how can you help me to live through that or live past it or live, you know, faithful so that I don't have to look backwards. I want to stop you from living a life of regret. And the good news is that if you have regrets in the past, you know, God can move them over. See, men, we got to wake up. You got to be alert. What matters the most in life? Faith in Christ and knowing his word, your relationship with your wife, raising your kids and being involved in your kids' life and your grandkids' life. Ephesians 2:10, when we talk about that, I talk about that a lot here, that you are God's workmanship created in Jesus Christ to do good works before what? In advance for us to do. That's what it says in the NIV. So one of your good works, man, is this. It's to know Christ. You were created to know him. But also your main work, your best work, is supposed to be on you and in your family first. The second thing you're supposed to do is men act like a man and stand firm in the faith. And that's what it says there. Paul says stand firm in the faith. You know, that's a military term, because we're warriors. We're supposed to be fighting battles. And Paul was using a term of war. We're supposed to stand firm in our faith. And a lot of guys think, well, you know, Christian guys think, well, yeah, man, I know Jesus. He ain't going to knock me off of my faith because I know Jesus. But see, that's not what Paul's talking about there. It's more than that. Paul's saying that we're supposed to stand in the whole faith of God. The whole word of God and all the truths that are in the Bible, we're supposed to stand, because it's easy. Because what happens? Here's what happens. See, the devil can't, once you get saved, you can't lose your salvation, but the devil can make you weak as a man, not knowing the faith, so that a lot of these other little lies that come in our country, you know, that come in our world, I should say, they will knock you down to where you're not effective. It's happening right now. It's all over our country. Paul says, so many people all together say, you know, I got Jesus, that's all I need. No, that's not all you need. You need to understand, everybody needs to stand firm in the faith. Paul is calling men to stand for what is true in the whole Bible. He's calling for men and women both. Well, here's the problem. See, the Bible, a lot of people say, well, the Bible is, well, that's an ancient book and it's not very tolerant. You know that the Bible is tolerant in a lot of things? Did you know that? Did you know that it's tolerant, the scripture is tolerant for faiths and cults that do not believe what we believe? You know, unlike some other religions that says, you know, off with their heads or kill them or, you know, destroy them. The Bible doesn't call us to do that. The Bible allows for tolerance for other people to believe what we don't believe. Matter of fact, Jesus even loved people like that. He loved people no matter where they, who they were or what they believed. You know that? Jesus was tolerant. But here's the problem. The Bible does tell us there is a right and a wrong. This tells us that there's a truth and a false. And if you don't know that, you can't stand firm in your faith, because what happens is, if you're not firm in the foundation of the truth of the Bible, they start chipping. They start chipping at the edges around, and next thing you know, you don't know what you believe if you don't know God's word. You can't stand firm in the faith if you don't know the whole counsel of God. And the problem is, a lot of guys don't read. I was one of them. I never read the Bible. The only thing I ever read was the sports page. Until I became a follower of Jesus Christ and said, oh, man, what am I supposed to do? What kind of man am I supposed to be? And I started reading it. Now I can stand firm and play. I know what's false and what's true, what's right and wrong. You see, the key word there is stand firm in the faith. What's the key word? Uh-oh. Nope. The little word. In the faith. In. You got to be in it. You got to be in it to win it. That's right. You have to be in it. You have to man up and get in the word. Then finally, act like a man and be strong. This one's easy, right? Come on, man, give me your best. Give me your best. Strong man, you know. See, here's the problem. It says not that word, when you look it up, that means not to be strong. That means to be strengthened. It means to be strengthened. Men need to be strengthened. And I'm not talking about breaking down muscle, tearing muscle down, and building muscle back up. There are areas in the Bible, it's been recorded. Men have been, you know, I used to go to those Promise Keeper events, and it's never changed. It really hasn't. Men struggle in three areas: sexuality, being a husband and father and all that entails, and then also they struggle in what they do for a living. They really do. You know, I can't get into a lot of these things, but they really struggle with a lot of things that have to do with sex. Men need to be strengthened in this area. Men feel like they're not equipped. A lot of people feel that. I felt that way. I wasn't equipped or prepared to be a father or to lead my families. I felt that way. I'm serious. And then finally, a lot of men are frustrated and they're unfulfilled with their jobs and they're not sure what to do about it. See, men need to be strengthened in these areas. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to be strengthened. And listen to this. Ephesians 3, 16 and 7 says, I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources that he will power you with the inner strength through his spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trusted him. Your roots will grow down into God's love. And what? You're not going to get it hanging out at the gym. It comes through a relationship with Christ. And when you receive Christ, you confess your sins. You say, I'm falling short. I need to be strengthened. Forgive me. Come into my life. And when you do, the Holy Spirit comes into your life. The roots, the scripture says that the people who study and know God's words is like roots by a stream. It'll feed you and grow you, and it will strengthen you, and you'll be strong if you do these things. So you need to get off the self-improvement strength training program. If you're on that program, get off of it, because it ain't going to work. And get on the Holy Spirit strength training program. It's the only true way to build spiritual muscles, ladies and gentlemen. Finally, the last one, act like a man and do everything in love. Now, this is hard. This is hard. The key word there is what? Where's, I don't even see the word everything in there. What are you guys talking about? Huh? All. See, anytime you see the word all in the scripture, you've got to pay attention to that. Let all that, when Jesus is Lord over all, it says here, let all that you do. So that means there's nothing that you do that can't be done in love. I know. Well, that's pretty easy, Scott, when everything is going my way. Family and work, it's really easy to love everybody, isn't it? But what about that guy that's driving down the road and he's giving me a hard time in traffic because, see, I'm going to tell you, that's a rough, weak area for me. My wife and kids have always said, don't look at that guy, don't look at that guy. I'm like, you got to be kidding. I want him to see my face. We're driving down 60. I'm taking my grandson back yesterday. Or no, it was, I had Aaron Westhauser, my son, and my grandson in the vehicle yesterday driving around town, and some other driver. Some other driver almost pulled out and hit us. And so they looked, those two young guys looked at me, and I was like, I wasn't angry at that, and I was like, waved at him. You know, that person was like, rah, rah, and those two guys said, well, why don't you flip them off? I said, fellas. Oh, they're 13-year-old boys, dude. No, Grandpa don't flip people off. What about, you know, yeah, traffic, you know, that's a hard one. When driving down traffic, rush hour traffic. What about when, it's easy, you know, what about when someone close to you turns against you? That's hard, isn't it? Well, what about when the kids are acting up? Hello, moms. What about when the wife asks you to do something, men, and you don't want to do it, but you know you should do it? Hard to do that in love, isn't it? All right, I'm going to do it. You know. Here's the thing for men, most of the time for men, I'm not going to say this about ladies, but for men, love you means I love what you do for me. Love means I love what you give me. That's not the love he's talking about. Paul, the beautiful thing about Paul tells us the love right here. Ever so often you got to read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's not just a wedding scripture. This is love for life right here, ladies and gentlemen. If I speak in the tongues and of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver my body up to be burned but not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at the wrongdoing, but rejoices with truth. Love bears all things and believes all things and hopes all things and endures all things. Listen to this. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. And when I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall fully know, even as I am fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is what? That's the kind of love Paul's talking about. That's real love. Everything that we do as men is supposed to be done in that love. Love never fails. It never ends. It's the greatest of all. And Jesus was the great example. He said, there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. See, Jesus established love and modeled it, and he created us to need it. If you allow Jesus' love to come into your life, you will win. You'll win in every category. You'll win as a man. You'll win with your wife and kids, and you will win with the people around you. But that love doesn't come on your own. It comes from the Holy Spirit. I didn't come here to trash you. I need a wake-up call. See, I live to be challenged. And I think that's what men need, is a challenge. You are warriors, the Bible says. And as the men of this country goes, so goes our country and your homes and the church. Now, I gave you all a handout called The Qualities of a Spiritual Mature Man, and they're found in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1. We're not going to go through those today, but I can tell you this. Women, men, take those home with you. Read them over. Pray through them. Women, pray for your men that they will be this kind of man. And men, don't be discouraged if you're not there yet. Listen, I said, I am not the man I used to be. I'm on the way to the man I'm going to be. I'm in process. And if you're weak in some area, don't be discouraged. See it as a challenge to develop there and become stronger. And you need your wife or the woman in your life to help you. And when the enemy, he's what he's going to do, he's going to say, you can't do it, give up, give up. And I'm telling you, when you hear those words, you fight like a man. You get in the word, you get on your knees, and you get other men around you to cover your back. Mark Twain said, it's not the size of the dog in the fight, it's the size of the fight in the dog. People tell me all the time, man, we should start a men's ministry. We should start a men's ministry. You know what? I've been around church, and I've been around for a long time. I've been around a lot of men's ministries. I'm not here to set up and eat donuts and drink coffee. You want to start a men's ministry around here? You better, let's get some warriors together and fight. I've talked about it. Me and Dwayne's talked about it. The elders have talked about it. Why we don't have a men's ministry? Because we just don't want to have some men getting together for just shooting the breeze, drinking coffee, and eating donuts. We need some men who get up and fight, who are willing to become warriors for their families, for them, for their church, for their God, and for their country. God created us to be warriors. You were created to fight. You were created to fight for your family, for God, for his purposes, for his plan. And men need to act with and lead with courage and accept responsibility and to grow in the relationship with Jesus Christ. You can't just come in and settle for as it is. Our Lord Jesus was the greatest example of a man. In 2 Corinthians, we read, we are afflicted in every way, but listen to this, we're not crushed. Let's read this together. Let's start all over. You ready? We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. You see, the life of a Christian man or a Christian in general is the life of Jesus Christ in me. In you, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Christianity and following Jesus and being a man of God is not just saying, oh, thank you, Jesus, you saved my life. No, that's not it. It's following Jesus Christ is having him taking up residence in me and in you by the Holy Spirit and living his resurrection life through me, through you. That's the Christian experience. That's the warrior. That's the man that God created you to be today. So anyway, let's everybody bow your heads. Everybody bow your heads and close your eyes. You know, I just said, I feel so challenged lately to call people to action. Last week we called people to come forward to receive Christ or to rededicate their life, and they did. Some came up afterwards, and today I want to call people men. I'm going to call men here who want to be that warrior, who want to have God change their lives. And I'm not, this can't be a one-time deal. When today is the day that you would start the process of being the man of God and you would, that he wants you to be, and that you would act like a man and be strong and be watchful and be strengthened. And so if you're every eye closed and every head bowed, I want to pray. If you're a man here today and you want that in your life, just raise your hand. Just raise. I don't want to embarrass anybody to come forward. I just want you to raise your hand. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, you saw the men that raised their hands today. And so, God, right now, I commit them. I commit them in the name of Jesus Christ to the process and to the journey to becoming the spiritual warrior, the man that you created them to be. Lord, I don't want them going off half-cocked. I want them, God, I pray that you would lead them to a study, to other men, so that they could grow on and work on this together, Lord, that they would start to search out you out, start to search your word out, what kind of man and husband and father you want them to be. And then with the help of other godly men, that they would help each other and then reach back and help others, Lord. I pray today that these men would take that challenge. It just wouldn't happen today, Lord. I ask, Lord, I pray just like the archangel Gabriel did in Jude. He said, the Satan and the Lord rebuke you. And I pray that today for these men who have raised their hand, that the enemy would be rebuked in the name of Jesus Christ in their lives, in their attempt to be these type of men. Oh, God, Lord. Help me. Help the leaders of this church. Help the men of this church. Lord, strengthen us. Get us ready, Lord. Prepare us, because we are in a battle. You know it, Lord. Help us sense the urgency of it. I pray all this in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Worship team, if you'll come forward. Just got a couple of quick announcements here. The 4th of July, we're going to do a float with the worship team. We're going to hand out water. And so I need you. I apologize for the bulletin today. We got a new copier, and Michelle went camping, and I couldn't figure it out. So, and I didn't read the instructions either. So, all right, getting over that. There's a lot of stuff that has to be set up for. So 4th of July is coming, and if you could email the office, we're going to send out other emails. If you'd like to help us pass out some water, help us work on building the float, you know, contact the office. Michelle's going to send the email this week, Monday again. Email her back, tell her what you'd like to do, and we really need your help. That's a great time, and people, we got some new T-shirts coming, so for the parade, so we're going to have some new banners, so that'll be a good thing. July 8th is Maxwell Street Days. We're going to be downtown. Again, the worship team is going to be there, and we'll probably have Bill said he's going to be involved, so we'll probably be doing water there and probably some popcorn, just free popcorn to be out in the street to tell people we're at the movie theater. We're their only church. Used to be the other churches, but they've all stopped doing it. It's just our church. So we're just going to hang out there and give away some popcorn and water, answer questions, and these guys are going to sing. So I heard Todd say something about dusting something off. I don't know what the heck you meant by that, but anyway. Dustin, certain some songs. Okay, so, and then finally, Janet, come up here for a second. A lot of you don't know Janet, but this is your last Sunday, isn't it? You think? Huh? Maybe next Sunday, I don't know, but, you know, in the next couple of Sundays, she's going to be leaving us. She's going to be moving out west. And I got to tell you, this woman who was so quiet had said some powerful things. And her children have been involved in Shine. And so I just want to say, I want you all to tell her how much we loved her, how much we're going to miss her, just welcome her, you know, greet her today after the service, because she is... She has been challenged a lot in her life, and she has remained like Jesus, you know, to these challenges. She's met them with Christ's love and Christ's power. And so I just want you to just give her a hug before she leaves and tell her that you'll miss her. So, yes. All right. I want to pray. Lord God, we thank you for Janet and her family. And Lord, we know that this is not a goodbye. This is not farewell. It's see you later. And so, Lord, I know the prayer request Janet has for her family. And so, Father, you're not that we believe that you're going to do some great things there in her family's life and that you'll use Janet no matter where she goes. Lord, we trust that and we ask your hand to go before her and behind her and all around her in the things she does. Bless her, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Okay, thank you, Janet. And then the last one, here we go. The last one, I just wanted to say this. You know, it's Kat's birthday today, so. Yeah. So, she's wish her happy birthday today. And then finally, after when we sing the song, if anybody wants to come forward, you know, Jeff can come here and take one side. I'll take the other side. If you're a man that want to come forward and you want somebody to come alongside you, or if you're anybody that wants to, Dwayne and Bonnie will be in the back. If you're a lady who wants to go back and pray with Bonnie, or Dwayne's back there for man. If you need some prayer, please come forward during the song. We want to pray with you. We pray on Sunday mornings now. We're praying on Tuesday. We believe in prayer. We believe in the power of prayer. And so help us. Let us come alongside you and pray for you today. All right, I'm done, Mark.
Y'all just stand up for us, please.
In this time of desperation, when all we know is doubt and fear, there is only one foundation we believe. We believe in this broken generation, when all is dark, will help us see. There is only one salvation, we believe, we believe, we believe in God the Father, we believe in Jesus Christ, we believe in the Holy Spirit, and he's given us new life, we believe in the crucifixion, we believe that he conquered death. We believe in the resurrection. And he's coming back again. We believe. So let our faith be more than anthems, greater than songs we sing. In our weakness and temptations, we believe. We believe. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and he's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that he conquered death. We believe in the resurrection. And he's coming back again. And the lost be found, and the dead be raised. In the here and now, the loving name, let the church live loud. Our God will say, we believe, we believe. And the gates of hell will not prevail. For the power of God has torn the veil. We believe, we believe, we believe in God the Father, we believe in Jesus Christ, we believe in the Holy Spirit, and he's given us new life, we believe in the crucifixion. said he's coming back. He's coming back again. He's coming back again.
Sorry, but I wanted to wish y'all happy Father's Day.